All right. Thank you, Eric. And good morning, everybody. Welcome to today's Azure Dev Camp. I'm here in Playa Vista, out in California, just north of Los Angeles Airport. We've got a room full of attendees, but also welcome to everybody online there as well. In today's event, we're going to take a look at Azure from sort of a scenario perspective, saying if you're an IT shop or a dev shop and you're looking at how do you take the things that you currently do in your day-to-day business and look at leveraging the Azure platform to do part of that or all of that. And so to get things started, though, wanted to kick off with just a little bit of an overview of what Azure is, realizing that some folks are coming in probably with Azure experience, but probably a number of others coming in without Azure experience. So the first presentation this morning is just really an overview of the Azure platform and what are some of the different things that you can do with it. So my name's Brett. My name and all my contact info is up there on the slide, so feel free to copy that down. Again, that'll be available in the slides as well as on the recording as well. But I left this first slide in. This wasn't my slide, but I just thought maybe that's what Azure was about, was little kids and strawberries. So I decided, what the heck, I'll leave it in there. But really the idea of cloud for me really does come down to, and it's maybe kind of a dirty word, but outsourcing, right? Thinking about taking some of the things that you currently are responsible for doing in-house and letting somebody else take care of those for you. And the idea being that your overall workload is reduced, and that way you can go home and eat strawberries with the kids, right? So I guess that's what that slide is about. But if you think about sort of the way that as developers, we build applications today, right? We build desktop applications, applications for tablets, for phones, embedded applications, Xbox, you know, all that kind of stuff out there. And Microsoft has a fantastic platform on premises to support those applications, right? We have Windows Server, we have System Center, we've got SQL Server, BizTalk, all these great, you know, applications and backend services that you could install on premise in your own data centers. But we also have a very large array of offerings that provide analogs to those up in our Azure platform. And so that gives you the opportunity as you look at developing applications sort of in the modern world, you don't have to support them purely with your on-premise or even co-located, right? If you were, you know, sticking racks in or, you know, blades and racks in somebody else's data center, that's still not the same thing as cloud. We're looking at letting somebody else take care of all of that for you, right? And so that's really where we start looking at Azure as a way of offloading some of the resources that you would usually do on-prem and allowing you to push it up into the cloud. So what do we get from the cloud? Well, you get, you know, all the things everybody talks about, elasticity, meaning that we can scale up and scale down sort of on demand. As we need more resources, we can add them in. As we need less resources, we can take them away. And so that also gives us this sort of elasticity in billing as well, right? We sort of pay for what we use when we're using it, and then we don't pay for it when we're not using it. Self-service is another big piece of that, right? The ability to go into some sort of a management tool and turn the switches on or turn the dials up and down as you need without having to go through somebody else as sort of a middleman to accomplish that. Definitely pay for what you use. That's a big part of where we get the economy out of cloud. And standards-based. I need to know that if I'm doing things on-premise, that I'm going to be able to do them the same way in the cloud, and vice versa. But for me, really, what the cloud is, it's about, you know, running your code or storing your data up in Microsoft's data centers, right? Just let us execute for you or let us store for you. So Windows Azure is Microsoft's cloud platform. We get a lot of those things. We're flexible. There's a very wide catalog of services that you can pick and choose from, and it really is a la carte. You don't have to use them all. You can pick and choose what you want to use, pay for what you use, and don't pay for the rest of the platform that you don't want. It is open, so even though it's a Microsoft offering, we support Linux virtual machines. You can run Node.js or PHP or Python code. You know, go for it. And it's solid. You're running in the same data centers that Microsoft runs their own properties on, right? So we care very much about the uptime in those data centers and the quality of them. When you hear people talk about the cloud, then you typically hear it sort of broken down into one of three different categories: infrastructure as a service, or IaaS; platform as a service, or PaaS; and software as a service, or SaaS. We of course have offerings across the board. This is another one of the slides that I didn't build. Pardon me. Virtual machines is really our Azure offering that's the infrastructure as a service. That gives you a virtual machine that you can go in and configure pretty much any way you want to. If you don't want to have to virtual or manage the virtual machines, you can step up into our platform as a service offering called Cloud Services, where we give you pre-configured virtual machines to support different types of workloads, web or worker. And then if you want to get even easier still, and that's where you step up into websites, they kind of have it under the SaaS category. For me, websites is still platform as a service. It's in a platform that you can deploy your code into without having to manage the underlying infrastructure. And in fact, with that said, if you think about on-premise, what it would take for you to build and host an application of your own, right? So this is a dev camp. I'm going to assume the majority of this audience is developers because of that, right? And so as devs, we tend to really care about the top two nodes on that stack, right? We care about the application, and we care about the data. As devs, though, rarely do we care about the operating system specifically, or what brand of servers, or how are you cooling the racks, or are you running copper or fiber into them, or whatever, right? We really want to focus on the top of the stack, and less so as you get further and further down the stack. And so for me, that's really what the cloud is. And so if you look at those different cloud models and start out looking at infrastructure as a service, with infrastructure as a service, you're really saying, hey, Microsoft, manage everything up to the virtualization platform for me, but let me build and manage my own virtual machines that I run on that platform. And with that, you have the choice of the operating system. You can run Windows. We support various flavors of Windows Server, so Windows Server 2008, 2012, 2012 R2. As well as various Linux distributions, CentOS, Ubuntu, SUSE, and SLES, I think is the other one. And then from there, you can install and put anything into those virtual machines you want. They're just like a virtual machine that you would run on-prem. They're just up in our data center, that's all. But we take care of all the infrastructure underneath that. If you don't want to worry about the VMs, if you say, man, I don't want to have to go and install OSs, service pack them, hotfix them, you know, maintain all the registry settings and all that kind of stuff, right? That's where you get into platform as a service and our cloud services offerings. We give you pre-configured virtual machines that we maintain, right? So as service packs and hotfixes come out, we automatically apply them for you, unless you tell us not to. And all you have to do is package your code up in a format that's consumable by our platform software. It will deploy it and configure it and maintain it and make sure it's healthy and all that kind of stuff for you. So that's great. The third choice would be, I don't want to write code at all. I just want to use your code, right? And that's where software as a service comes in. So think Office 365 or hosted CRM or something like that, right? Where you're going in and just paying for a pre-installed service that's running up in the cloud. You log in, you manage your own data, but you're not responsible for writing the code there. So those are sort of the three different categories. Of course, again, Microsoft has offerings across the board. And those data centers, talking about where this code runs, we've got 8 data centers worldwide right now. Pardon me, worldwide. We've got 4 in the U.S., 2 in Europe, 2 in Asia. And those are the blue dots. The green dots are our edge nodes for our content distribution network. So if you're going to be having streaming media or just even your website resources and you want to get those closer to the users that consume them, that's where the CDN comes in. And you can get to Azure a number of different ways. Right now, there's a free trial. Well, there's always a free trial. But the free trial right now is for 30 days or a $200 total usage, whichever comes first there. And you can just go to windowsazure.com and sign up for it. We do take a credit card as part of the free trial enrollment, but that's just for identification purposes. There is a hard cap on that. You will not be able to use resources past the $200 limit unless you say it's okay to bill you. Right? So we're not going to bill you unless you say it's okay. The other way to get access to Azure, one other way, is through MSDN. So if you're an MSDN subscriber, most MSDN subscriptions come with an Azure benefit. Depending on what your MSDN subscription is, the benefit will range anywhere from $50 up to $150 a month. So that's another great way to get it. And then I should also mention, if you're a small business, if you're a startup, so think about yourself. If any of you are interested in writing apps for a mobile device, just go ahead and nod your head, right? Then you're a startup, right? So Microsoft has this fantastic program called BizSpark, BizSpark.com. And with BizSpark, you sign up. There's a verification process that you'll go through. But we'll give you 3 years worth of MSDN, Azure benefits, a whole bunch of other great stuff. So definitely check out BizSpark if you're looking at building software as a product. So a subscription in Azure is your billing relationship with Microsoft. And you might have multiple subscriptions. In fact, I have multiple myself, right? I get one from the Azure product team because I'm out demoing Azure all the time, but I also have one through my MSDN account. And so as I'm in creating resources, I get to pick which subscription do I want to consume or bill my usage against, right? Another way to think about subscriptions is internally in your own organization. You might have one subscription for each developer, maybe because they each have an MSDN account. Each developer would have their own Azure benefit that they could deploy and test their code against. But then when you're getting ready to maybe get ready for production, you want to go through a formal QA, you might want to have a separate subscription that your QA managers have access to, but not the regular devs. And they can deploy into that, do all their tests there, and that's going to make sure that you've got this security isolation, right? The devs can't publish into QA, et cetera. So it's also going to be billed differently, right? You might want to allocate costs to QA differently than you do to the individual devs. And then thirdly, once you're ready to actually go live, certainly we'd have a subscription for production out there as well. You could also have those set up. You know, the devs, if they're MSDN accounts, they get that benefit through their MSDN subscription. QA might be on a PO, right? Or maybe QA is pay-as-you-go. Or production might be on a PO based or something like that, right? So each one can be a different billing relationship, be billed against sort of different billing channels out there. In order to ship code back and forth between those, look at source control, like Team Foundation servers, TFS or Team Foundation server. We also just last week announced for release Visual Studio Online, which has a hosted TFS platform that's free for teams of five or less, and then you can pay for additional users as needed. Azure is also not just about code. There's a lot of services in Azure that you can, again, sort of pick and choose from to use as you desire. And part of that is trying to help you, and you have to think about the wording on the slide, help you only write the code that only you can write. Right? We don't want you to have to go and write code that anybody could write. Your value as a dev is the code that you can write but nobody else can. Right? And so what that really means is leveraging frameworks. You know, going out there and taking advantage of the platforms and the frameworks that are there and then building your own logic and things like that on top of that. An example of one of those platforms is mobile services. Mobile services is a really cool way to build a backend for a mobile application. I've presented a lot on mobile services. And for me, going out and thinking about, there's a lot of folks out there now that want to build apps for one platform or another, whatever it happens to be. You say, I got this great app idea. I was talking to a buddy the other day, and he had this great idea for a bar game, right? A game that you would play with your friends when you're out, you know, at a bar at night. And it's really easy to sit there and come up with these great app ideas. But then you go, oh, well, now I need to know who my friends are. Well, in order to know who my friends are, the app has to know who I am. So I have to have this whole authentication piece. How do I authenticate people? And I'd really like to use Facebook or their Microsoft account or Twitter or something like that to log in. And then you go, oh, well, now I've got to track data over time. Where are I going to store the data? Now I've got to build a web service. And now all of a sudden I'm a back-end developer, not an app developer, right? The simple bar game all of a sudden became a lot more complex. And mobile services solves that back end for you, right? Literally within a couple of minutes, you can have a back end for a mobile application that stores data, supports authentication, and even allows you to create custom endpoints where you can add your own server logic as RESTful API endpoints very easily. So it's really cool. And that's available for apps across the stores, right? Windows, Windows Phone, and of course those other guys, iOS and Android, or even just pure HTML5 apps. We have Azure SQL Database, which is a hosted version of SQL Server. Right? So this is a little bit different than SQL Server on-prem, right? Where you would go and install SQL Server and you have full control over it and all that kind of stuff. If you want full control over SQL Server, but you want it to be in Azure, then you create a virtual machine and you install SQL Server into the VM and you can do whatever you want to with that, right? This is a simpler way to get access to a SQL database up in the cloud without having to go build a VM, without having to install SQL Server and do all that kind of stuff, right? So in those scenarios where you say, I don't need that physical control, or I don't need some of the, you know, like the ability to host CLR objects in the database engine or something like that, SQL Database is a great choice for that. We also support caching. There's a lot of ways that you can deal with caching in Azure, but we have the ability to add caching onto your web and worker roles inside your cloud services and have a distributed cache that's running, so that's really cool. We also support identity, and this is growing more and more so. We certainly support authentication with OAuth providers like Facebook and Google and all that kind of stuff, really any OAuth standard provider out there. But we also have Active Directory in the cloud and the ability to federate with your on-premise Active Directory and build applications where users can log into them with your actual, you know, corporate domains accounts. Service Bus is a great way to take service-based applications and distribute them various ways. We've got queuing with topics and subscriptions and a whole bunch of cool stuff there. You can relay and basically get, allow access to services that are behind corporate firewalls to applications that are sitting outside. And a whole bunch of add-on services. For example, the one I probably use the most is SendGrid for sending email. But there's a number of other ones out there as well in the Azure Marketplace. And the benefit of signing up with services through the Azure Marketplace is a consistent point of billing. These all come in through your Azure bill. So tons of different application building blocks. And again, you can pick and choose from what you want. You don't have to use them all. Whatever it is you need, and you just pay for it as much as you use it. The other part of that then is how do we write code against those services? And so we have SDKs for all of the major platforms, certainly .NET. We have for Node.js, what do we have? Java, PHP, Python. There's a ton of them up there. Basically, all of the functionality that's available in Azure from a management perspective is exposed through a RESTful API. So if you want to go spin up a virtual machine, or if you want to go create a website or whatever, you can do all of that through a RESTful API that's secure, fully documented, and accessible to you to use, right? In fact, it's that management portal that we have that just consumes that same RESTful API, right? So basically, if you can do it in the management portal, for the most part, you can do it in the RESTful APIs. Most of us don't want to have to go write low-level HTTP code, though. Right, with headers and hash codes and authentication and all that kind of stuff. So to simplify your life as a developer, we publish SDKs. And those SDKs give you object models for the programming languages that you work with. And those APIs do all the low-level HTTP stuff for you, right? And they simplify your life. So that's really what those SDKs are about. You don't want to mess with them. You want to write HTTP RESTful code yourself? Go for it. Fully documented, and you're good to go. We also have a set of command line tools. There's a PowerShell set of commandlets that you can use. And there's also a cross-platform command line interface that you can use that runs in Node. So you could run these on really any platform where you can run Node.js. And the other cool thing is that these are all open. We publish them all up in GitHub, so you can go download all the source, even submit pull requests and things like that if you want to, if you feel like you'd like to contribute to some of them. All right, so let me jump over here and show you the portal. So for demo purposes, I'm actually using an Azure virtual machine, right? So I'm RDP'd into a VM that I have running up in Azure. I'll just open up my web browser. And I have the default page just going to windowsazure.com, right? So this is just the default landing page when you go to windowsazure.com. From here, there's a lot of great stuff that you can get. Certainly, we have documentation on all of the various services that are available through Azure. We also have downloads for all of the different SDKs and command line tools that I was just talking about. One of the other really handy tools is a pricing calculator, where you can come into here and say, hey, I know I'm going to be having 5 VMs, they're this large, I'm going to run them for that long, whatever, and sort of calculate out what your usage is going to be with that. Up here in the right-hand corner is a free trial, so I can click on there to sign up for the free trial. And once you do, you can then go into the portal. And you're going to access your subscription through a Microsoft account initially. I did mention, though, that we do now have Active Directory support tied to your subscription, and you can federate those with your on-prem AD domains and actually allow your devs to authenticate with their corporate accounts, which is kind of cool, right? But I'm going to go ahead and sign in with an account that I have. And I've already authenticated, so it's not prompting me for my credentials again. It would otherwise. And the network's running a little bit slow today, but this is the Azure Management Portal. So this is an HTML5-based web application, so you can run it in any browser from any platform out there. And along the left-hand side over there is sort of the catalog of different services that are available for your subscription. Right? So I can scroll up and down within there, but that's where I see websites, virtual machines, mobile services, cloud services, and a lot of the other things I was just talking about. If I take websites as an example, websites are really kind of like hosted IIS. You say, I want to go build a website, but I don't want to have to install Windows and install IIS and take care of all that kind of stuff. We give you pre-configured IIS machines running in the cloud that you can deploy your own websites to. This isn't the same thing as web hosting, right? This is running a web server or a website on IIS that you can then further configure and scale. Right, and in fact, you have the ability to even move your IIS sites into their own private virtual machine so that they're all running sort of isolated, which is really cool, right? But if I were to want to make one of these guys, I could just click on new, and really new lets you create any kind of resource at any time. I didn't have to go to websites first and then click new. You could just click new anywhere. And you'll notice that we can create new compute, new data services, application services, virtual networking, whatever. Under compute, we've got websites, virtual machines, mobile services, or cloud services. And under website, I've got a few different ways. I can just make one really quick, or I can make one with a little more control, or we have a pre-configured gallery of templates that you can choose from. So I'll go ahead and pick the gallery. And you'll notice that we have a ton of different pre-configured websites. So .NET CMS, ASP.NET, BlogEngine, Cake, sorry, Django, .NET Nuke, Node.js, Joomla, WordPress all the way down there at the bottom, right? So these are pre-configured sites that you can just go in and pick from and go build very quickly there. If I wanted to go build an empty ASP.NET website, I can just go on to next. And I'm going to give this thing a URL. I'll call this my BS demo. Oh, that one's already taken. My initials are BS, Brett Statham. I didn't mean this. I wasn't commenting on the quality of the demo. How about BSS demo? Middle initials S. There we go. All right, so you notice that it didn't like BS demo at first, and that's because I'm actually picking the host name of a fully qualified URL, and BS demo had already been used by somebody somewhere, probably me at some point, right? Now, actually, that means that that site has to actively be in use right now. If you delete a site, that name becomes available again very quickly, usually within seconds, right? But BSS demo works, and notice that the tail end of that is this Azure Websites .net. There you go. Try to scroll in there a little bit, right? So azurewebsites.net. And so this would be bssdemo.azurewebsites.net, not www.mycompany.com. If I want to be www.mycompany.com, I can do that. I just can't do it on free websites. I have to step up to shared or standard websites, and then you can add custom domains in front of that. But at the free usage tier, we don't support custom domains. All right. The other key is, what data center do I want this website to run in? Right? And I talked about the 8 data centers worldwide. We're out here in Los Angeles, so I'll pick West US. And let me scroll back out here. And that's basically it. Just complete. And so it's now going out and provisioning that site for me. And it usually doesn't take very long. Sometimes a few seconds, sometimes a couple of minutes, just depending on what's going on in the portal and that kind of stuff at the time. I get handy little notifications running down here at the bottom, and I can see that, in fact, it's already completed that operation. So I'll clear that out. And there's my BSS demo, and I can actually click on the link, and I get a beautiful blank page, right? Remember, I picked an ASP.NET empty website. So I'm getting an empty website. You can actually tell on the tab, though, up at the top, it's my site's title. So there actually was an empty page coming back there. I could probably even go in and do a view source on that. And there it was, right? My site's title coming back for me. So, woohoo! Pretty cool. And now I'd have the ability to come in and deploy into that website pretty much any way I wanted to. Oh, sorry, should have closed the portal there. Get signed back in. All right, so there's that BSS demo. If I actually click into that and go to the dashboard for it, this is where I can monitor my website, see various things about what's happening on it. It's brand new, so the performance is pretty much blank, except at the very end out here. And if I scroll down, you'll notice that I can set up deployment credentials, and then from there, I'm going to be able to FTP into that site to upload. So at a minimum, I can do FTP. I also have FTPS. But we also support direct deployment from a variety of sources, right? So in fact, if you'll notice, I have set up deployment from source control. And as I go through that, I can go from Visual Studio Online, which is hosted TFS. We can go from a local Git repository directly from GitHub or a number of other sort of cloud-based repositories, Dropbox, Bitbucket, CodePlex, or some external repository that you have. That's really cool, right? And so we can pull directly out of our source control and deploy right into our website. So we don't have to do FTP unless we absolutely want to. Visual Studio, of course, can also publish into our websites using WebDeploy and just push right up into them that way as well. So that's really cool, and I'll show you that coming up here. If you decide you don't want that website anymore, it's just as easy to get rid of it. So I can just delete it. It verifies that there's nothing related to that website that I might also want to clean up, like a database or something like that. I'll go ahead and say OK. And it's deleting the website for me, and that'll be gone. So it's already gone, and so now if I wanted to, I could go back in and provision a totally different site, a Node.js site or something like that, that also was BSS demo, and that name would be available for use again. And the other key thing, again, remember down here with new, we have the ability to go in and create pretty much new resources of any kind that are available through our subscription. So that's sort of your portal for getting in and creating things within Azure.